As talk of a federal election grips the nation's capital, we go to Ottawa this morning to talk to veteran journalist and member of the Parliamentary Press Gallery, Lloyd Mackey. Mr. Mackey is the author of a timely new book on Conservative Party leader Stephen Harper and his rise from the political backrooms to where he is today, leader of the official opposition and quite possibly the next Prime Minister of Canada. The book, The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper, is published by ECW Press, $32.95 Canadian. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca Lloyd Mackey. Good morning, Mr. Mackey.
Good morning, Joe. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for joining us. You dedicate the book to Chuck Cadman. Why?
Well, as it happens, I used to occasionally, when I stopped to talk to Chuck Cadman in the hallways of Parliament, I would say, you know, just bear in mind, you are still our MP. We come from Vancouver and from the Vancouver area, and we still own a condominium, a small condominium in Surrey North. And in many ways, I would say he saved the Conservative skin. Some people might view it differently, but by voting as he did, he allowed the Conservatives a little more time to rebuild, and he did that, of course, before he passed away. And I thought that he was a good person to dedicate it to. He was just a good man, and very very involved in his community, and could take that approach, even though he still had his community with him. Of course, even after he lost the Conservative nomination and went on to run as an independent.
You talk about him saving the Conservative skin, allowing them a little bit more breathing room, a little more time to prepare. If the election, I guess the election is to be soon, very soon.
Sounding that way.
Are the Conservatives prepared? Would Stephen Harper be a good Prime Minister, do you think?
Well, two different questions there. Are they prepared? I think they are in better shape than they were last spring. But it's a strategic matter in many ways because of the fact that British Columbia, I guess, and southwestern Ontario are two key areas. Things are a little more stable in other areas. But in British Columbia, whether the Conservatives would lose some impetus to the NDP is a bit up in the air at the moment. Although, and then in southwestern Ontario, of course, the question of whether there are more Conservatives who've been parking their votes for years with the Liberals, whether they're ready to switch and add another 10 or 15 seats to what they had in what they picked up in the 2004 election. That's a good question. But would he make a good prime minister? I guess the thing I would point out most strongly is that he tends to be clean as a whistle, and this is a good position to be in. Especially when a lot of the issue has been around government corruption, what kind of leadership is offered, it would take quite a few years to build up the kind of corruption type of network that developed in the Liberal Party, so that it's one of the arguments that can be made by people who look at things that way, change, it's a good idea to change parties every 10 or so years anyway, so that you keep the thing clean.
You titled the book The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper. Would you talk to us about the pilgrimage that Stephen Harper took? He was born in Ontario, he goes to Alberta, he goes back to Ottawa, then he goes back to Alberta, and now he's in Ottawa again.
Right.
Why this title, and how does it apply to Stephen Harper, and are there any implications to his political thinking because of this journey that he's taken?
Yeah, the title comes out of the fact that first of all, I should say that my practice in journalism has always been in co- covering the faith-politics interface. That's been sort of a specialty with me. And back in 1997, I wrote a book called Like Father, Like Son, Ernest Manning and Preston Manning, and in a sense, that was The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper is a sequel, because there are, you know, the liberals, of course, have often referred to the scary hidden agenda of evangelical Christianity in the conservative party and in its predecessors, and I think the fact is that that there is a legacy brought forward by evangelical Christianity in Canada, particularly in Western Canada, that Stephen inherits and which he is a part of in a rather careful sort of way, and which he has to handle in the task of bringing together these five or is it six different kinds of conservatives.
Yeah, when Harper defeated Stockwell there for the leadership, it was thought that the evangelical right had been defeated. You talk about how he's handled the Christian right within this conservative party, at the same time making it a sort of big tent party. How is, I mean, you in the book you talk about Stephen Harper's faith, and there's no doubt about that. But the relationship between the organized church, how has that come across to you?
Well, when I guess one of the things that in some of the there were publications like Christian Week and like Alberta Report, which in each in their own way have had a, you know, they do a good job of covering the evangelical Christian community, and one of the things that they were successful in pointing out, if you like, was that when Stockwell Day ran the second time for the leadership of the Canadian Alliance, having encountered his difficulties, and Stephen Harper and Diana Blancy and Grant Hill became candidates with him, what became evident was that not just Stockwell Day was an evangelical Christian, but also Stephen Harper and Diana Blancy, and Grant Hill wasn't an evangelical Christian, but he's a Mormon, and culturally there are some affinities, although the theology is different. So that there were a lot of evangelical Christians who said, "Hey," who in fact maybe had bought their memberships through Stockwell Day's organization, who said, "Maybe we should be." Leaning towards Stephen because he could carry forward whatever there is in faith-based social conservatism and fiscal conservatism too, for that matter, without some of the emotional and political baggage that had been attached to it through the Stockwell Day leadership. Not saying that Stockwell Day had control over it, but there were. That was the kind of thing that was happening. So at that point, then he was able to bring that forward, and as he has worked with the social conservatives, along with the Red Tories and the fiscal conservatives and the libertarians and so on, he has said, "Look, if we're going to remain together as one party, we need to." Stop fighting cultural wars and try to understand each other's cultures a little more and find out how we can bring some strength to it. And that's been a he's been in probably a pretty fair position to do that because his fiscal conservatism and his leanings toward libertarianism have been probably more finely honed than his social conservatism.
As an observer of Canadian politics, though, you'll recognize that this idea of faith, you call it the faith and politics interface, is not palatable to some Canadians, that they find this, that they'd like a separation of church and state. You write in the book that your book serves the purpose of showing to a certain segment of the population who see faith in politics as relevant, that they you explain Harper to them.
Yeah.
How big is this segment of the population, and just how consequential are they to Canadian politics?
Well, I think that the people who would identify themselves, for instance, to a pollster as evangelical Christians, or some reasonable facsimile, Catholic or Protestant, probably represent around 15 or 20% of the population. For strategically political purposes, there would be some places in the nation, including the Fraser Valley, some parts of Alberta and Saskatchewan, some parts of southwestern Ontario, and some parts of Atlantic Canada, that where that would tend to represent more like 35 or 40% of the population. So these are people whose natural affinity is toward an appreciation of a warm faith in God that expresses itself in the kind of tenets that attach themselves to evangelical Christianity. That's one facet that's worth mentioning. Another thing that I do in the book that you might have noted is I write a little bit about Stephen Harper as a customizing Christian, I actually take that out of a point of reference that comes from having worshipped at the same church, a Christian Missionary Alliance church in Ottawa, where he and his family, children, and so on are part of the congregation. And a customizing Christian is a term that's been developed by pollsters, and there's been some sociological studies on it that indicate that for evangelical Christians, 48% of the population is customizing. That is, they attend church pretty regularly. They have a great appreciation for the fellowship of the church and the kind of teaching that is provided by the minister. But they stop short of accepting as ultimate truth everything that the minister says. And the good side of that I tend to point out is they think for themselves. They use the minds God gave them, if you want to put it in those terms. And so I take it as a given that if you're talking about 15 or 20% of the population being people who appreciate warmly this kind of Christianity, there's another factor that you can take into account as well, and that is that the same pollsters find that 70% of the population would at least have they'll answer the pollsters by saying things like that their relationship with God and the forgiveness of their sins is predicated on their belief in Jesus who lived and died and rose again. That's said to be 70% of the population. So the number of people in reality who strongly reject the infusion of faith into politics excuse me, is relatively small by those measures.
Now, you talked about customizing faith, customizing Christianity. Was that much like Trudeau in his faith and his Catholicism?
Yes, it's worth the comparison. It's not completely identical, but because you have a sort of there's a liturgical tracking within Catholicism that makes things work out a little differently, but nevertheless, for Trudeau, for Martin, in many ways Trudeau, as it turned out, it was learned after his death, I suppose, that he was perhaps a lot more committed and even less customizing than might have been thought, but he had this, of course, this cynical skeptical veneer and a highly honed intellect that caused him to not appear so much to be close to his faith. But you know, the other thing that comes out in Catholicism too, that's different from evangelicalism, is that things like, for instance, traditional marriage and anti-abortion stances and that sort of thing are well codified within Catholicism, but not within evangelicalism, so that there's a little more give and take. And so Trudeau certainly, I think, in a customizing way, lived out his Catholic faith.
We're talking with the journalist Lloyd Mackey. His new book is called The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper, 3295, published by ECW Press. This is the second book on Stephen Harper this year, probably the second ever, in a sort of long-form study of the man. What's the reaction been to the book thus far?
Well, we had some early reaction in August when the Vancouver Sun ran a story by Peter O'Neill. I got a little bit of flack from social conservatives who said that perhaps I was being a little unfair to them, and I would think that's blown over so at this point. But certainly it was there. I found that the social conservatives were people who thought I'd been unfair to them more so than the Red Tories. What I've suggested to them is that they read the whole book, that a Peter O'Neill story focused on some things pretty sharply and did it quite accurately. And he's a good journalist. He's a good journalist also in helping social conservatives to see themselves as others see them. One thing that I did want to mention, if in case you were one interested, was the relationship between Preston Manning and Stephen Harper.
And that has been fascinating because people recall that Harper was elected in 93.
Yep.
He left soon after, and there's been a lot of talk that he left because there was some difficulty between him and Preston Manning. You go into that in the book, right?
I go into that a little bit in the book, but then the other thing that I say is if you really want to get into it, read William Johnson's book, because he goes into it in great detail. And there is a factor there that even though there was tension between them in the early years, Stephen has consistently maintained that Preston Manning was a spiritual mentor. And that's probably something to keep in the context. When I interviewed Preston Manning for as a previous biographer of his, of course, for this book, I started to ask questions that got me talking about, you know, could you talk about the tension a little bit? And he quite frankly said, "Let's not go there, Lloyd. I want to speak well of Stephen. I want to do whatever I can to give him a chance to lead the party to victory in the next election." And I quoted him completely saying that. And I thought that it was probably a measure of the man, that is, of Preston Manning. And I think Stephen Harper appreciates that too.
Back to the purpose of the book for just a sec here. I wanted to. Obviously, you thought there was a need for writing this book. Do you think that this helped your book as well as William Johnson's book for the greater Canadian population, for them to understand Stephen Harper a little bit better? Do you think that you've been able to do that?
Well, I think that I think I've tried to, in my book at least, I've tried to make it one that would help people understand Stephen Harper, look at him in perhaps at least a sympathetic light, and yet at the same time not turning it into a puff piece. I remember some of the left wing critics of my book about Preston Manning, that it was called Like Father, Like Son, and they offered the suggestion that it was more like father, like son, like author, and I rather enjoyed that little prick, if you like, sort of a little jab, and so in that sense, I hope that it would be helpful. I think William Johnson's may have been, his book was more, it had an awful lot of Quebec stuff in, and I know some of the reviewers from the West felt that he didn't really concentrate on it, but that he did that on purpose, and he is from Quebec. William Johnson's been very active in Quebec politics, I think he wanted to try to explain Stephen Harper to Quebecers, and probably I was more aiming at explaining Stephen Harper to Westerners, particularly Westerners that might feed the faith factor into their thinking about politics.
Finally, I wanted to ask about the influence of women in Stephen Harper's life. You talk about Cynthia Williams, I guess this was a girlfriend from way back, and then, of course, Loreen Harper, his wife. William Johnson also talks about Cynthia Williams a lot.
Yes.
Would you comment on the influence that these two particular women have had on Stephen Harper?
Well, I didn't interview Cynthia on purpose because I wanted to focus more on his the relationships that formed with Loreen. Interestingly, it was Cynthia who was one of the people that introduced Loreen to Stephen Harper after Stephen and Cynthia had broken up, Cynthia still views him today as, you know, somebody that she has a lot of respect for and so on. I think that Loreen has an influence that where she thinks pretty independently in terms of philosophical or ideological or even faith matters, and they complement each other to that extent. Sometimes evangelical political leaders or even evangelical ministers and other leaders, if they are male, tend to see their spouses or their significant others tend to be viewed as kind of helpmeets. There is some parts of the evangelical world that play that down, but that is not the kind of partner that Loreen Teske Harper is, and so that is now the. There's another part of the book which you may have noted. I talk about the angels. These are the young women that are in the caucus, young to early middle age, who certainly bring a sharp perspective to the caucus, and this is also true of the young men. But I write about it, in fact, because Norma Greenaway, a reporter for the Ottawa Citizen, did a major feature on them, and they were all in the picture, including Belinda Stronach, who was still in at the time. So I think that there is a factor too with Loreen that she has been very good working with the Social Conservative Caucus members in encouraging them towards incrementalism, encouraging them towards bringing their values to the larger conservative table. So these are, I would say that Cynthia's influence is in the past, but it's it's been a useful influence, and Lorraine's is very much present, and also these strong young people in the Conservative Party, both male and female, are bringing to many people that support Conservatives, they are viewed as being sort of the evidence that the Conservatives are the new, bright, young, clean people compared to the old, aging, as Rona Ambrose referred to Ken Dryden, perhaps a little bit unfairly, but as we don't want you old white guys telling us what to do.
Well, Lloyd, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with this book. I found it a fascinating read, and as I said, a great step into understanding this man who could quite possibly be the next Prime Minister of Canada.
Well, thank you very much, Joe, and it was good to be on with you here.
You can read Lloyd Mackey, his writing regularly at CanadianChristian.com and ChristianCurrent.com.
CanadianChristianity.com.
CanadianChristianity.com and ChristianCurrent.com. The book is called The Pilgrimage of Stephen Harper, $32.95 Canadian from ECW Press. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plenum.